This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Header from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey were put to the challenge in midweek, but eventually reached pit's end.
Pittman, can he get the shot away? He'll try on his right foot, and Brett Pittman will score for Swindon. It was inevitable, wasn't it? Here we go, Pittman against McGilvery, shuffles in his run-up, and then sends McGilvery the wrong way and makes it 2-0 to Swindon.
Swindon ran out 3-1 victors at the County Ground on Tuesday night, avoiding relegation to League Two for the time being. But that wasn't the narrative the Blues were chasing as they slumped down to eighth. Later tonight, we'll hear the thoughts of head coach Danny Cowley, who feels like he and his squad have let the Pompey fans down.
We feel the pain for everyone. It's never good when you let yourself down, let alone when you know you're letting down a lot of Portsmouth supporters that think so much of the club and want the club to do so well. So we all have to shoulder that responsibility.
Feel free to get in touch this evening. We welcome all of your interaction between now and 7 o'clock. Let us know your reaction to that defeat at Swindon, your thoughts heading into this weekend's game, and of course, your score predictions too. Without any further ado, let's get straight into it. This is the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next ride and even pay for your next ticket too, if you'd like to avoid doing so when boarding. And please also remember that if you are using public transport at the moment, it is for essential travel only and you are wearing a face covering, unless, of course, you are medically exempt. Coming up on tonight's show, I'll be welcoming two more Blues fans on to discuss all things Pompey, including a review of Tuesday's early kickoff in Wiltshire, a look ahead to this weekend's clash with Bristol Rovers, and of course, a roundup of the latest news coming out of the club from the past week or so. As ever, we'd like you back home to get involved with the conversation this evening. Simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. You can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Over the next 60 minutes or so, we're looking for your score predictions. Can the Blues finally return to winning ways this weekend, relegating the gas in the process? One thing is for sure, 3 points would do just about nicely right now. But before we go any further with the discussion tonight, we're going to take you back up the A34 to the County Ground, home of Swindon Town. The hosts were rock bottom of the division ahead of kickoff, held the worst defensive record in the league, and had lost each of their previous five games. A golden chance for Pompey to get back to winning ways and climb back into the top six.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot it!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And Daniel's not sure with his touch in the penalty area. Payne once more to Pittman. Pittman, can he get the shot away? He'll try on his right foot. And Brett Pittman will score for Swindon. It was inevitable, wasn't it? His 10th goal of the season. And Portsmouth will look at themselves and say that was a goal that should have been avoided. Brett Pittman scores, Swindon 1, Portsmouth 0. Portsmouth come down the right, and Johnson's trying to get Marquis in, and Marquis takes it down in the area and goes round the goalkeeper where his touch lets him down, and it goes behind for a goal kick. That is a glorious chance that goes begging. Pompey 1 down. Now Naylor in the centre of midfield, trying to chip the ball in behind, looking for Marcus. Marcus has timed his run. Marcus brings it down. Can he find the finish? He can't, but can Harnett. No, blocked again. Still loose in the 6-yard box. And Grant scrambles it away. It's behind for a corner. And Portsmouth should have found a way to make it 1-1. Pittman controls it well and plays it in the area. It's a great chance for Swindon. And Smith goes to ground. And it's going to be a penalty kick. Foul from Charlie Daniels, who concedes a penalty for the second game running. Tyler Smith goes down. Yellow card for Daniels. Penalty and a chance for Swindon to make it 2. Pittman wants the ball and it's going to be given to him reluctantly by Smith. Here we go. Pittman against McGilvery. Shuffles in his run-up and then sends McGilvery the wrong way and makes it 2-0 to Swindon. And Portsmouth have 30 minutes and a huge mountain to climb to keep their playoff hopes going in the right direction. It's Swindon 2, Portsmouth 0. Portsmouth have it through Marcus. Comes in field. Curtis in the area. Can Curtis finish with his second touch? He can! Finally, Portsmouth get on the score sheet. Marcus threading it through to Ronan Curtis. It's Swindon Town 2, Portsmouth 1. It is given away and Tyler Smith drives forward for Swindon. And Cannon comes across with a good challenge, but Smith in the area. Has he got the chance to get the shot away? He has! And Swindon have made it 3-1. And Portsmouth are going to lose to the bottom club in the division. And they're going to take 1 point from 4 games. And their League One playoff hopes have suffered a major blow. It's Swindon Town 3, Portsmouth 1. And that's the final action of this game here at the County Ground. And Portsmouth have been beaten 3-1 by Swindon Town. Portsmouth starting the day in 7th, losing to the club bottom of the table.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from the midweek calamity at Swindon as the Blues fell to a 3-1 defeat to bottom of the league. That win for Swindon lifted them from the foot of the table and leapfrogged Pompey's next opponents, Bristol Rovers, who are now themselves rooted to 24th. Joining me on the Football Hour this evening to go through the events of Tuesday night. First and foremost, I'm delighted to welcome back Mr. Ivan Prothero. Ivan, good evening, pal, and thanks for calling in tonight.
Good evening, mate. My pleasure to be on. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad, considering the recent matches. We'll go through that in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to welcome back, also returning, Alex Macy. Alex, welcome back, mate, and thanks for coming on to chat to us.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first, Ivan, then, about the inevitability of Brett Pittman not just scoring on Tuesday night, but bagging a brace. I think we were all expecting that from a former Blues striker.
I think it's one of those situations you could have probably put your house on. I think he'd be slightly more upset it wasn't against Kenny Jackett with the treatment he gave him by the end of his time at the club. But yeah, it's another typically predictable outcome. We're playing against a bottom of the league team, I suppose.
Yeah, another disappointing defeat, Alex. All defeats are disappointing, don't get me wrong, but considering the circumstances, Pompey's form in the 3 games prior to Tuesday night against the Swindon side on such a poor run of form themselves, that was one I don't think many were predicting.
No, there's the argument that we've been playing a lot of teams who have stuff still to play for, but even in that situation, you shouldn't really be struggling to a Swindon side who have won 2-11, when you're going for promotion.
And on the 83rd minute, Ivan, I think I speak for all Pompey fans when I say I thought we'd claw our way back into the game. Ronan Curtis pulling one back for the Blues with 7 minutes to play, 2-1 down. Pompey, you know, gunning for a playoff position. Swindon, as Alex just rightfully mentioned there, they'd won just twice from the last 11 games, 9 defeats in that period as well. Pompey chasing the playoffs, considering how we've come back in games previously in the first 4 matches under the Cowley brothers, I couldn't envisage that Swindon would go on and get another and kill the game off.
No, it was quite disappointing to have got ourselves almost straight back in the game and then to almost instantly throw it away. But I think, you know, you look at the stats from that game and I think we had about 70%. I think it was officially, I think it was 68% possession, but on top of that, to have 20 shots, I mean, that's, you dominate the game. So clearly we weren't aggressive enough in front of goal and clinical.
And looking at the stats prior to the game, we mentioned, Alex, about how many Swindon had lost, going into kickoff. And Looking at the table, they conceded 78 goals. It was the worst in the league, still is the worst on the table at the moment, 79, because of Pompey's consolation. So they've got the worst defensive record. And of course, they were rock bottom of the division. They could have been relegated on Tuesday night if Pompey had won and results elsewhere went against them. And looking at this is an insane stat which we covered on Tuesday night, and I just want to reiterate tonight. Going into the Crewe game last week on Tuesday night, they were going into that match at Gresty Road having just conceded six against Oxford. MK Dons on Saturday, they'd recently conceded four, I think, against Lincoln. And going into Tuesday night with Swindon, they also conceded four in their previous game. So we were going into the last three matches, Alex, against teams who had conceded a combined 14 goals. But Pompey went 263 minutes without scoring themselves against these leaky defences. Now, we all know the ability, we all know the players that the Blues have got at their disposal, but to go 263 minutes to the 83rd minute of the third game between those, you know, three teams without scoring a goal, does that indicate to you that there is something seriously wrong about Pompey's creativity and inspiration going forward?
Yeah, I mean, when you play teams off the back of a huge loss like the three teams we've played previously, of course you're going to expect a reaction. But on the flip side of that, I mean, if you look at the Pompey team, there should be creativity in that starting 11. If you look at Harness, Curtis, Williams. But I just feel that we have too many flair players, potentially, who need too much confidence. Are there enough leaders in the team to get them going when we're not playing well? I mean, that's the big question mark for me.
Yeah. Let's get to some of the interaction coming from our socials then. Marcus Deacon's going to read out a few emails from Tuesday night, which Liam couldn't get through because we didn't really have much time after the game to do so. Marcus Deacon's on the emails. He says, "This is getting embarrassing now. A single point from four games against teams that should have been easy prey. What makes it even worse is that this is the team which was top just 4 months ago. So the quality is obviously there somewhere. All I want from any player is that they do their best and give 100% every second they are on the pitch. But recently there have been too many abject performances and too many players not fit to wear the shirt. Big changes are needed over the summer." Very, very bold statement there from Marcus, Ivan. But also one you'd struggle to argue with. I think he's absolutely nailed it on head there.
Yeah, I think he's dead right, to be honest. I mean, it's simply not good enough. Sorry, you know, the last couple of performances, I'm sure we go on to the state we're going to talk about Cowley's future and things like that later. But I think the worst part is the initial bounce we got and the confidence we gained under them. You know, a lot of players were frozen out under Jacket or weren't playing at their best, and they seem to get that bit of form, get that bit of belief back in the game, and now that seems to have gone. Within four games we're sort of playing within ourselves again, and I think he's absolutely right. There will be big changes needed, potentially, if there's money there. You know, who's to say we can afford that? But yeah, something drastic, I think, will need to change if we're going to kick on and get promotion next season.
Yeah, a stat here revealed by our colleague from BBC Radio Solent on Twitter earlier this morning, Andy Moon. He said, "Pompey have lost matches to four of the current bottom five in League One and held to a 0-0 by the other. Not a good stat." And for context, looking back at the previous few seasons, in 2018-19, 10 games played against the bottom five, 9 wins and a draw, no defeats, 28 points from 10 games. Pretty good going. 2019-20, before, of course, it was curtailed, 9 games played, 7 wins and 2 defeats, 21 points, okay. Pretty good as well. This season, 9 played so far, 4 wins and 4 defeats and 1 draw, only 13 points against the bottom sides in the division, Alex. It seems to be Pompey's Achilles heel at the moment, going and get up against teams who are fighting for their lives at the bottom of the division. And in previous seasons, I think we've spoke about how Pompey have missed out on the top two or faltered at the final stage because they failed to beat, you know, teams kind of around them. If you can't beat your kind of promotion rivals, then you're not good enough to get promoted. But this season seems to be a little bit of a flip side of that. We can't beat the teams that are struggling, let alone the teams that are up there this season.
Yeah, there is an argument that you could say we haven't really been able to beat teams at the top or the bottom this season. And I think ultimately that would cost us promotion if it comes to that. And yeah, as you say, Kenny Jackett team, there was that slight irony that we were very good against the teams at the bottom of the league. And in previous seasons, you would have really backed us on that running. But it just doesn't seem to have happened this season so far.
No. Let's get to a few more emails coming in before we head to our first break of the night. Then Stephen Jerome, again, this is from Tuesday night, says, "Good evening, lads. I think that is probably one of the worst performances from us. We looked bereft of ideas and didn't look sharp enough in the final third. Take nothing away from Swindon. They played well and they really didn't look like a team sat at the bottom of the table. We should have won this game convincingly, but again, we were rather poor. And if we can't beat the bottom team in the league, then I'm afraid we don't even deserve to finish in the playoffs." Embarrassing, ends Stephen Jerome in Southsea on the emails. And another great point, Ivan, made by someone emailing in there, Stephen Jerome from Tuesday night. He says, but Swindon, take nothing away from them. They played very well on Tuesday night. They were at full value for their win. And they've got players within their squad capable of at least being higher than the bottom four in this division. You look at, what, even Brett Pittman, Missaloo, you've got Jack Payne as well. Three of many names within that Swindon side who are so good enough not to be in a relegation scrap in League One. So it is strange to see that side struggling at the moment, but is it also not strange considering who they were managed by for large periods of the season, John Sheridan?
See, I'm torn on this a little bit because, yeah, you're absolutely right. They've got some very good players in their team to go down. I think they have been probably massively underperforming within themselves all season. Equally, it's one of those traps, isn't it? You go along, you think, well, they're bottom of the league. And you kind of just, I'm not saying this was predictable, but the form we've recently been in, you did kind of worry. And then as soon as we started playing, we looked a bit nervy. And I think one of the key factors recently is we've got no kind of, I think it was touched on there in the emails, we've got no kind of confidence in front of goal. I'm not sure I entirely agree about not being bereft of ideas, because you know, you have 20 shots on goal, you're clearly creating chances there. What we're not doing, and sorry, I forget who mailed in there, he's absolutely right in the fact that we can't score. I mean, what, you know, one goal and 20 shots, that's clearly comes down to some kind of confidence in front of goal rather than maybe the creativity around it.
Yeah. Looking at the stats from Tuesday night, Pompey with, I think, 77% possession. Yeah, 23% in the way of Swindon. Over 20 shots as well in Pompey's case. Like you say, Ivan, certainly creating the chances, but not getting it right in the crucial moments in front of goal. And Alex, you could argue that's what has contributed to Pompey's downfall in the last three or four matches, because we have certainly created the opportunities. We've had chances in front of goal. You know, you refer back to the Crewe game last Tuesday, even from a penalty spot Pompey couldn't score from. We are creating the chances. We've seen improvements within this team since the Cowleys have come in. We just cannot score for toffee.
No, we certainly can't at the moment. And I mean, that sort of surely has to open a debate about whether John Marquis is the person who should be leading the line for Pompey. I mean, obviously Ellis Harrison and Jordi Hawula aren't fit at the moment, and I'm sure if they were, the Cowleys would be looking at rotating. But I saw a stat on Twitter the other day about Marquis being one of the having one of the lowest shot conversions of any striker in the league, I think. And having an underconfident striker with limited options up top is ultimately going to cost you.
Okay, lads, it's time for a very short break now here on Express FM, but fear not, because the three of us will be back before you know it. And when we do return, we'll also have the Blues boss Danny Cowley on with his pre-match thoughts. He's been speaking about the plans for the Pompey Academy, as well as the new man in charge of the youngsters.
I think there's a lot to do with our academy. I think it's a great job, but it's a great challenge as well. And for him to be able to drive the football operation and the academy operation moving forward is brilliant. And we're looking forward to getting aligned and getting our thinking joined up so that we can drive the academy moving forward.
So don't go anywhere. Keep it locked in to Express FM and join us again in approximately 3.5 minutes for the continuation of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7.
Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of three of tonight's Footblower here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city, Express FM. Supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you across the South Coast and up through Hampshire with a minimum of fuss, all at a reasonable price too. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on timetables, routes, fares and the latest COVID-related guidelines. Let's welcome Ivan and Alex back into the conversation now. And Ivan, we'll go back to Tuesday night and a point made by Alex right before the break. John Marquess, one of the lowest conversion rates of any striker in the league this season, but he does have 14 league goals to his name, which isn't a bad return by any means. Certainly a difficult situation. Now, he's a big name. He came to Fratton Park with a big price tag. Many argued he couldn't work under the tactics of a previous management. Men came the idea he wasn't getting the service. But we've got a new management at the club now, a new style of play, and he's had plenty of opportunities. The service is no longer the issue. So what is?
Yeah, I'm going to have to be honest here. I was one of these people that kind of backed him to the hill. Certainly when under Kenny Jackett anyway, you know, there was a lot of suggestions, hoofball, probably not the nicest term for his football, but I'll say it anyway. Didn't really suit his game. And, you know, ever since Cowley's come in, you know, we've played a lot more football to the feet, to the ground. He's now playing essentially a 4-4-2. So he's had Williams with him as well. To be honest with you, I'm a bit lost on this because you look at his track record. I mean, for Doncaster, he had a sensational season before we bought him. But you're right, 14 goals in, I think it's 37 League One appearances this year. I mean, that isn't promotion form for a striker. It's not horrendous. It's not, you know, it's not terrible, but that's not going to get you promoted. And I think confidence is a huge one here, isn't it? He's clearly a very good striker. But, you know, as we touched on earlier, if you're going to create that many shots a game, you've got to finish them.
Yeah. And looking at the strikers of which John Marquess has been competing with this season in League One, of course, you've got Johnson Clark-Harris at Peterborough, 28 goals this season, an incredible return. Charlie Wyke at Sunderland, 23. And then you've got Dion Charles of Accrington Stanley with 19. Malik Wilkes at Hull with 18, tied with Joe Piggott and Jerry Yates. And then you've got Josh McGuinness, Luke Jeffcott, the Dane Oliver at Gillingham and Matty Taylor at Oxford, all above John Marquess at Pompey, who is level with Sammy Schmodics, a reported Blues target in the summer. So, as we mentioned, Alex, what is going wrong with John Marquess? Because look, 14 isn't a bad return. It doesn't scream flop. It doesn't scream, you know, this has been a bad signing. But also, like Ivan said, and I think he raised a very good point there, it's also not the kind of return you'd hope from a team chasing automatic promotion.
No, and as you say, three of the four top scorers in the league are at teams who are in the top three places. And that's no coincidence. John Marquess just frustrates me. I don't really see what he is offering the team at the moment. I don't think his touch is anything to desire. He doesn't really seem to have much pace either. And ultimately, he was a striker good for finishing, and we haven't seen that. So, like a lot of Pompey fans, I'm just scratching my head at whether it's just a confidence thing or if he's just not going to be right for Pompey.
Yeah. A lot of Blues supporters as well, Ivan, suggesting we shouldn't have got rid of Brett Pittman. Are you one of those who can get on board with that? I personally don't think so. But, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Would you say that Pompey getting rid of Brett Pittman last summer, is that something you would have changed in that transfer window?
Hindsight's a beautiful thing here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, given his relationship with Kenny Jackett at the time, I think we had to get rid of him regardless. He wasn't happy, and that's not a player of his experience who expects to be not just playing but in the starting 11. When he wasn't, to have a player of that, I mean, he was club captain for a long time as well, let's not forget. So I don't think you can have him kicking about as a reserve to Marquess, which, you know, a lot of people have suggested. He wouldn't have accepted that, and I don't think that would be good for team spirit either. So, no, I think, you know, it's easiest to sit here now and say, oh, well, you know, he's just scored against us. Yeah, I know that. But No, I probably wouldn't agree with that.
No, and particularly this season, Alex, when you know we've got this salary cap in place. I know that's being scrapped at the end of the season, but we are still working with a limited 22-man squad. Pompey, you know, looking at John Marquis at the club, and you look at Brett Pittman, you look at Brett Pittman's age and experience and, you know, his legs and, you know, the pace that he's no longer offering Pompey. And you look at John Marquis on paper, considering his previous track record, everything he, you know, supposedly could offer Pompey, it wasn't actually a bad bit of business on paper, and certainly in the way of goals this season, John Marquis is still ahead of Brett Pittman, but he is also operating in, well, a better team. So yes, you can see the point as to why you'd maybe want Brett Pittman still at the club. But as Ivan mentioned, when you've got two good strikers at the same club trying to fit in a system which only usually plays one up top per game, you can't please both of them, and you're gonna upset somebody. So you can't have two top strikers at the club like that, can you? Otherwise, it just does absolutely no good for team morale.
No, you can't. And I mean, obviously, you look at Tuesday night, and Brett Pittman's just bagged two goals, and it can look like a wrong decision. But in the summer, I would have made the completely same decision. And I mean, when he played at Fram Park earlier season for Swindon, I don't think he touched the ball, and I think he is an equally frustrating player, but if you give him the ball in the box, he will score. So, I mean, it, as you say, hindsight's a great thing, but I would have made the same decision at the time. Keep Marquise.
Yeah. Graham Wilkins on the emails. Good evening to you, Graham. He says, well, lads, what do they say about shooting yourself in the foot? Well, we blew our feet off. Terrible defending and power duff attacking. And the fact we can't beat teams who are struggling to win games until they play us says a lot. If supporters were allowed into Tuesday night's game, the players would have been booed off at the end. Playoffs, I don't think so. And basically, we don't deserve to be up there on this showing. Please drop Daniels for Saturday. He's a complete liability, says Graham Wilkins on the emails. He also continues by saying, I fear for this Saturday. Bristol Rovers must be licking their lips at playing the Blues. Graham Wilkins there on the emails. We'll come on to the subject of Bristol Rovers and tomorrow's game later on in tonight's show. All the ways to get involved tonight, if you haven't done so already, it's 81400 on the text, ensuring you start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet including at expressfm, or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Let's touch upon one of the points made by Graham Wilkins in that email, Ivan. Charlie Daniels. Graham highlights his opinion, which is that Charlie Daniels has not been a great signing for Pompey this season. At the start of the show and on social media throughout this afternoon, I asked fans back home, have you been underwhelmed by Charlie Daniels since his arrival in January? Ivan, your thoughts?
I'm afraid to say Graham's right, isn't he? You know, I'm going to be honest here, and I'll have to eat some humble pie. I was one of the people that was saying, certainly when Brown had, you know, he's had a couple of difficult games in recent years. And when we got Daniels in, you looked at his, not just his ability, but I mean, his experience alone, you know, for Bournemouth in the Premier League. And let's be honest, he's not been at the pace. I don't know. I can't tell you for why. I don't know whether it's he had a lack of games after that, or I don't know what it is, but every time. And let's be fair, we're not saying he's a bad player, because you look at his record as a player and he's achieved some very good things in the game. But my God, it's shambolic. You know, anything near him, he just looks at the moment like a liability. And I do feel a little bit sorry for him, because I'm not entirely convinced by the centre-backs around him either. I'm not sure you can put the entire blame on your left-back. but yeah, Graham's right. He's been pretty poor.
Yeah. On Facebook, some fans getting involved on this subject as well. Joy Maddox says, underwhelmed by Daniels? That's an understatement. Martin Kerr says, add him and Marquis, then add Raggett to the mix, and Division 1 is where we belong. Marcus Deacon says, I think we have to go all the way back to George Lawrence to find a worse signing than Daniels. And look, and actually another one here from Gary Dobson, which I will read out. Daniels is one of many in the squad unable to adapt to McCauley's high-press, high-intensity model. With the severe restrictions in ability of the current players, it is better that he and more than a dozen others moved on in the summer and players recruited to suit the new style. P.S. in the event that McCauley's are also given the funds to do so. Alex, look, we're not singling out any player, but this is one of the key talking points from the last few games. Charlie Daniels, he does look to be a bit off the pace, and given his experience, given his time in the game, given the level that he's played at, having secured his signature in January, I think a lot of Blues fans were very excited by the prospect of him coming to Fratton Park, and I just don't think it's quite worked out for him. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Sometimes you just don't work out at club, and given his age and given everything he's been through, maybe he is coming to the end of his career.
Yeah, I don't think we actually need to look into it too much further than the fact he is 34. I mean, he clearly was a brilliant player, loads of Premier League experience, has great delivery with that left foot. But I just think his pace and stamina are massive concerns. When he takes a poor touch, he's not reactive to it, as we've seen by him giving away two penalties in the last two games. And, you know, I think who would have thought we'd be praying for Lee Brown to come back into the side.
Lads, thank you very much for your input so far this evening. We're going to hear now from Blues head coach Danny Cowley. He spoke to Max Swatton from the Pompey media team to preview tomorrow's return to Fratton Park, but started off by answering the question, how important is it to forget about Tuesday and focus on the next challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. We obviously felt the pain of Tuesday. We feel the pain for everyone. It's never good when you let yourself down, let alone when you know you're letting down a lot of Portsmouth supporters that think so much of the club and want the club to do so well. So we all have to shoulder that responsibility and take that responsibility, and naturally it takes you a little bit of time to get over it, but we were up early Wednesday and attacking the day with enthusiasm, and I think we took some learning from the game, and we've had a really good day with the boys today, and we need to make sure that we show that in our performance on Saturday.
Preparation wise, have you changed anything in the lead up to this game?
No, we always stay really consistent with our process. We obviously come in and we won four games. We were lucky enough in that period to have back-to-back weeks. So we had 2 full weeks of training, which really helps when you're a new group because it allows you to get on the grass and get your message across. Recently, the games, as we know, have come thick and fast. And where you're a new group and we haven't had training time, there's no hiding place that has hurt us. But ultimately, that is the situation and that is the circumstance. And Nicky and I knew that and were aware of that when we come in. We knew that the biggest challenge for us would be the time that we had on the grass with the players, because, you know, in video rooms, in individual meetings, department meetings, team meetings, you can bounce words off the walls, but the players learn by the feel. They learn by being on the grass and through training. And I think probably, you know, over the last four games in particular, the fact we haven't been able to get on the grass in between those games has been tough for us, and that's not there's no hiding place from that. That's just the reality and the facts. But we're looking forward to Saturday, and we've got four games to go, and some people might say we've got a mountain to climb. Well, we see it as a great opportunity on Saturday, and if we can win on Saturday, and we'll only win if we can find the level of performance that we know we're capable of, but if we can do that, then we travel to Accrington on Tuesday on a difficult pitch with another cup final to play, and that really excites us.
Bristol Rovers are another side who are struggling at the moment. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, we anticipate a tough game. They've obviously had a really difficult season, which has culminated in three different managers. I know Joey has spoke quite emotively about his frustrations with the group, and, you know, he's had an amazing playing career, and he's made a really good start to his managerial career, and no doubt we'll be learning an awful lot from all of these experiences. So we look forward to welcoming him and his Bristol Rovers team. The challenge for them is very tough, but regardless, they're be wanting to finish the season strong, and we know Joey certainly as a player and a manager, and he's an incredible competitor, so we expect a really competitive game.
Greg Miller was appointed as academy manager on Monday. How important do you think that role is?
Yeah, massive. So delighted to be able to welcome Greg. I think he will be a brilliant addition to this football club. I see an energy and an enthusiasm and a real gritty determination. I think there's a lot to do with our academy. I think it's a great job, but it's a great challenge as well. And, you know, for him to be able to drive the football operation and the academy operation moving forward is brilliant. And we're looking forward to getting aligned and getting our thinking joined up so that we can drive the academy moving forward.
And just finally, what's the latest injury news?
We are where we are. We've got challenges. There's no hiding place from that, particularly at the top end of the pitch, also on the left-hand side of the pitch. But we don't like to make excuses, because excuses are for the weak. We would much rather put our energy and our focus into what we have got and the players that we do have available, and trying to find the best way of playing with what we have available. Now, we know we're making inroads box to box, but we've got to do better in the decisive moments of the game. You know, we made over 500 passes passes again on Tuesday. I think 100 of those passes were in the final third, which means that we are being progressive with our play. But then if you look at our chance creation for those 100 passes in the final third, we only had expected goals of just over two. On the flip side of that, we've had 77% possession. The opposition have only had 23% possession, but they've scored three goals. So we're really disappointing with our defending. We think we can build a direct play better, particularly our coverage around the direct play. And we also think we can defend better in the 1v1 moments. And they're two aspects that we've highlighted and we're focused on, and we're going to work towards improving come Saturday.
The pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley there speaking to the club's media team after training yesterday afternoon. And Danny mentioned there remaining consistent in the approach to games, which you can see, as we mentioned previously, Ivan, Pompey have not been lacking in chances going forward and attacking opposing defences. Results have dropped, but performances up front, certainly with the wide players in midfield, certainly haven't dropped.
No, and to be honest with you, every time he speaks, you are encouraged. I don't know whether that's a fallout from just how the players reacted initially, but you know, every defeat, they genuinely do sound as if they're looking for genuine solutions, which is encouraging. And I'm sure we'll get onto this, but speaking about Greg Miller taking over from the academy, that to me doesn't sound like a man who's not going to be there next season.
Yeah. Defensively, Alex, four conceded in the last two against sides who combined in their previous matches had mustered just four shots on target, all four coming from Swindon last week at Wimbledon, while MK had failed to get a shot on goal in their game prior to our match last Saturday. What do you pinpoint this defensive capitulation down to?
I mean, we haven't been able to make a consistent back four second half of the season. I think when we had that really good run, was it seven clean sheets before Christmas? We had a very consistent back four, but more recently, Jack Watmore's had a couple of suspensions. Nick Eliason in and out of the squad. Lee Brown's obviously been injured. So I just don't think the back four have been able to get any consistency there. And ultimately, we're just sloppy at the back. We just make mistakes, and that is going to happen when you start playing out from the back. But the majority of the mistakes haven't actually come from that. We've just seemed to switch off in games.
Okay, then, we've just drifted past 20-7 now, so we're going to head off for a few moments, returning with a closer inspection of Bristol Rovers, and we'll continue to pick apart that interview with Danny Cowley. Do continue getting those text, tweets and emails into us. We're now asking for your score predictions. Text your name and prediction to 81400, starting with the word Express. Include at ExpressFM within your tweets, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or find us at facebook.com/PompeyLive. I'll be back with Ivan and Alex very soon for the conclusion of tonight's instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back this evening to the Football Hour here on Express FM on this lovely Friday evening. I hope you're all kicked back, enjoying the last of the day's sunshine with a barbecue on the go, listening, of course, to your Friday football fix. The show is brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South, driving for a cleaner, greener future. Still to come in these final 20 minutes or so, we'll be taking a closer look forward to tomorrow's early League One kickoff, reading out your score predictions from back home and quickly previewing Pompey's run into the season. However, before any of that, we're going to pan over to Connor Mosley, who has more of an insight into the names, facts and figures behind the Blues' next opponents, Bristol Rovers.
After three games away from home, the Blues are back at Fratton Park this weekend. And after the midweek defeat at Swindon, Pompey have the chance to get back to winning ways against bottom of the table, Bristol Rovers.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Gas are the next opponents for Danny Cowley's side, who slipped down the table to eighth following a string of four matches without a win. These two teams last met back in February at the Memorial Stadium, where Rovers came out 3-1 victors, thanks to a brace from former Hamilton Waterlooville striker Jonah Ayunga, as well as a Luke Leahy penalty. Let's delve a little deeper now to the side who found themselves scrapping at the foot end of the table this season.
Manager.
For former Manchester City, QPR and Burnley midfielder Joey Barton is now in charge of the Gas. The 38-year-old was favourite to succeed Paul Tisdale when Pompey went to the Mem in February, though he was not appointed until 6 days after that midweek defeat. His first game in charge of Bristol Rovers was a 2-1 defeat to relegation rivals Wigan Athletic. His side were 2 points clear of the drop zone when he took in charge. Barton was, of course, in charge of Fleetwood Town for the first half of the season and had been since June 2018. However, he left the Fylde Coast with the team lingering in the bottom half of the table. From his 15 games in charge of Rovers so far, Barton has overseen just 3 wins, suffering 10 defeats.
One to watch.
Turkish creative midfielder Erhan Öztürmer is one to keep an eye on this weekend. The 29-year-old is on loan from fellow League One side Charlton Athletic and will be wearing the number 41 shirt for the Gas this weekend. He spent 8 years of his youth career at the Valley between 1999 and 2007 before spending time at Fisher Athletic and Manisaspor, turning pro in 2009 at Sivasspor. Since then, Öztürmer has represented the likes of Dulwich Hamlet, Peterborough United and Bolton Wanderers, though began to really make a name for himself during his 2-year spell at Walsall, which ended in 2018. This season, he's netted just once for the Gas in a 6-0 win over Darlington in the second round of the FA Cup, though he has made 23 league appearances for the club, registering no goals and just one assist.
Top scorer.
With 8 goals and 3 assists to his name at this stage, 28-year-old midfielder and makeshift defender Luke Leahy is the club's leading scorer in League One this campaign. The Coventry-born player began his career with Rugby Town, an affiliation of the Gordon Strachan Football Foundation, in 2011, but moved to Scottish outfit Falkirk the following year, where he would remain until 2018. Leahy then made the switch to the Football League with Walsall, making almost 100 appearances in 2 seasons, before transferring to Bristol Rovers in 2019, where he's since made over 65 appearances, scoring 8 goals, all of which have come this season.
Current form.
Since that win over Pompey just 9.5 weeks ago, Rovers have won just 3 of 16 league fixtures, securing a total of 11 points from a possible 48 during that period, which has seen them slump from 20th to 24th. Joey Barton's side are now rooted to the bottom of the division, following a home defeat to the MK Dons on Tuesday night, as well as Swindon's win over Pompey at the County Ground. The Gas have accumulated just 38 points from 43 league matches this season, and are 9 points adrift of safety with just 3 games remaining. Anything less than a win for them on the South Coast would mathematically confirm their relegation to League Two. Will it be a return to winning ways for Pompey after 4 games without a victory? Or will they once again be frustrated by a side fighting tooth and nail to avoid relegation? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A closer look at the Gas of Bristol Rovers, who will be looking to ignite a great escape with a win at Fratton Park tomorrow. Nothing less than a win, Alex, would be sufficient enough for Rovers this weekend. If they lose against or draw with Pompey tomorrow, they will have their relegation to League Two confirmed. Safe to say they will be fighting hard to the very end to ensure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think we've seen a Joey Barton side enough to know what they will do if they take the lead, especially in a game as big as this one. So I think first goal could be really big tomorrow. We definitely don't want to fall behind.
No, and speaking of Joey Barton, Ivan, he's been kicking off this week in the media. Shock. He's been quoted in saying they're going down with a whimper. He wouldn't have allowed that group to be built like that if he was in charge earlier, and but players should be embarrassed. And he also said that it looked like there was a chance when he got there, but when you peel the onion, you realise what you've gotten yourself into. Joey Barton, not a happy man at Bristol Rovers, in case you couldn't guess. But certainly aside tomorrow, you know, we've played against teams previously in the last 4 games, Swindon on Tuesday night, a great example, a side rock bottom of the division in a really poor run of form. Bristol Rovers, looking at the stats going into the game, they were beaten 2-0 in midweek. They've lost 7 of their last 9 games. But as we all know, as Pompey fans, Ivan, this is not going to be a walk in the park.
No, it isn't. Just to make a comment on his quotes there, I mean, what a way to motivate your team.
Lovely.
It seems slightly strange to me, but hey. you're right. On paper, you look at, you know, we've had 4 quite disappointing results, and, you know, to play the team rock bottom of the league is on paper quite ideal. But, you know, any team managed by Joey Barton, you kind of expect them to come out quite aggressive, not give you any time or space on the ball. So, yeah, you're right. We can't take any points for granted here. But it's a good opportunity, especially getting back at home to put in a performance and get a decent result.
Yeah, and referring quickly back to Danny Cowley's pre-match interview as played in the previous part of the show, Alex, Danny Cowley referring to the appointment made earlier in the week by the club of Greg Miller as the new manager of the Blues Academy. We've seen players this week such as Charlie Bell, Harvey Roux and Harry Kavanagh be released, partly down to the fact that there is no under-23 squad at Fratton Park. Mark Kelly resigned from his post, but as you know, as mentioned previously, Cowley getting involved with all of this indicates that he might be here for you know, beyond this season. And we actually heard earlier today from our colleagues at Portsmouth News that the club are interested in offering Danny and Nicky Cowley a more permanent contract, possibly, I think we're hearing, between 3 and 4 years.
Yeah, I think Charlie Bell and Harvey Roux being released definitely did raise a few eyebrows, but as you can tell, they're getting involved with the club. They're getting their points across of how they want the club to progress from the academy, and that would indicate that they're going to be given a decent length of contract, probably similar to Kenny Jackett, to work towards the objectives that the board have given them. And you would expect that.
I think we might have lost Alex briefly there. Ivan, are you still with us?
I am, yes.
Great. But, you know, just kind of continuing from what Alex is saying there about the academy, the new appointment and this news that we've heard today about Danny Cowley possibly being offered an improved contract in the summer based on what we've seen so far. It's positive news, isn't it, from Pompey? The fact that we are hopefully pinning these guys down to a new contract, we've appointed a new academy boss. Hopefully this is a step in the right direction as Danny Cowley tries to integrate himself more into this Pompey side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the appointment of Greg Miller, a lot of that was under the recommendation from the Cowley brothers, I believe, as well. So yeah, it does, and like you said, from the news from the Portsmouth News today, it does all look as if a contract's going to be put on the table. All I would say is, and I hate to be all negative and defeatist, but I actually don't see it in that way. So I think if we don't make playoffs, regardless, I think it's a good time for them just to assess the squad. As a lot of people emailing and have said, you know, we do have a lot of players that probably aren't up to scratch. And we'd all love to get to the playoffs. However, we're Pompey fans. We know what we do in the playoffs. It's not that crucial. I think what is crucial is giving them this time to build stronger for next season and assess what they really have to play with.
Yeah, and speaking of fans getting in touch, we've got a few more coming in before we do end the show tonight. Graham Snow says, what's the point of taking Alfie Stanley as a substitute when they don't even use him as a sub? But Cowley keeps saying that they want change at the top end of the pitch. Give Alfie a chance, Graham Snow, on the emails there. And Linda Mayle also on the email says, but not sure if we can blame the Cowleys for the shambles the Pompey players have dished up in the last four games. If the Cowleys are given a chance as manager next season, they will need to be backed to tear this team up and start again. Maybe a handful of players to keep, but this team needs a drastic overhaul. Whoever's in charge, this needs to be addressed very quickly after the end of the season. The Portsmouth on Twitter, he says, but the key word I used when describing the teams at the bottom, fighting. Are we seeing enough players fighting for Pompey? A number of players out of contract and arguably a few who may leave for the next division in the summer. Who is standing up to be counted? Craig McGillivray, says the Portsmouth on Twitter. Roger in Gosport's got involved on the text. He says, good evening, Jacob and lads. Looks like the season's over. I've heard the Cowleys are in the job full time, so I'd suggest a clear out and get the players they want. I'm sure they would like to take the Blues up. As for the last few games, I can't quite believe that's Pompey. They are better than that. 2-1 victory. Keep the faith, Roger and Gosport. Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Southsea says, hi, Jake Way and the lads. Our confidence on the pitch needs to be fired up again. The goals will follow. Play up Pompey, Mike T. Mozzer in Portchester. It looks like the Cowley's influence has gone the other way since they've arrived, from Mozzer in Portchester.
Hey.
And a final one here on Twitter. We've got on Facebook, rather. We've got a few score predictions. Ian Sands going for a 3-3 draw. And Mark Johnson is going for a 3-0 Bristol Rovers win. Okay, then. Not too confident on the socials in regards to the score predictions for tomorrow's game. Look, Ivan, Alex, we'll end on that note. We've heard some of the score predictions of the fans back home, not too confident. Thank you to everyone who got involved tonight, by the way. But how are you guys, you know, joining me over the phone, feeling ahead of tomorrow's game? Ivan, we'll start off with you. A score prediction, a quick thought ahead of tomorrow's game.
As just previously touched on, I think, you know, rock bottom of the team, they are going to be fighting for their lives. You know, I expect an aggressive game, and I don't think it will be easy. In saying that, I'm going to be positive for once on here. I'm actually going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win.
So Ivan is going for a 2-0 win. How about you, Alex? Will Pompey return to winning ways this weekend, or will it be a fifth game without a victory?
Yeah, I think they should. If Swindon was an easy game on Tuesday, I mean, this won't be an easy game, but Bristol Rovers don't seem to have the quality. We seem to like winning 2-1 under the Cowley, so I'll go with that.
Interesting. I'm also going to go for a 2-1 win for the Blues. Back to what they call, what is it, a 2-1 Cowley special. Ivan Prothero, Alex Macy, thank you both so much for joining me on tonight's show. It's been a pleasure to have you both back on the show. Have a great weekend, lads. Enjoy the game tomorrow if you're watching, if you're listening. And once again, stay safe out there as well.
And you too, mate. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jake.
Cheers, lads. Okay, well, that is just about all we've got time for tonight. Thanks to everyone for getting involved on the socials throughout the course of the last hour. Thanks to Stagecoach Across Myself for supporting another season of the Football Hour here on Express FM. So that is, like I say, just about all we've got time for tonight on the preview of the Blues' next fixture. But we'll be back with more Pompey action very, very soon. Liam is skiving off, so I'll be joined at Fratton Park by the Viking, Ryan Steelwell, for full build-up to Pompey versus Bristol Rovers right here on Express FM and IFL at Pompey. For some reason, it's another early kickoff at Fratton Park, 1 o'clock kickoff, and we'll be live here from midday.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey were defeated on the road on Tuesday night. They were beaten 3-1 by Swindon Town.
Smith in the area. Has he got the chance to get the shot away? He has! And Swindon have made it 3-1.
Up next for Pompey, a home tie against Bristol Rovers. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon from midday.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
We'll have you covered for all of the action as Danny Carley prepares his side for the run into the season, match day number 43 for the Blues, right here on Express FM and IFL Pompey from midday tomorrow. Okay, on the way for you tonight, we've got another instalment of Express Floor Fillers with Connor Mosley from 7 o'clock. Connor is back after the latest headlines to play the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. And then from 11, just when you thought you couldn't get enough of the floor fillers, we've got more. Non-stop floor fillers between 11 and 2 a.m. Ian McGuinness is back from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with the latest hits, news, travel, weather and sport updates, as well as this week's random top five, a 4 from 40 from 1991, and to catch up with John Brown, who has the latest on the movie scene. Mason Jordan is back playing Just Great Songs with Saturday Sample Game and your weekend guilty pleasures between 4 and 6 before he takes over from himself to deliver the local music show between 6 and 7, your home of local music and the local music chart with Mayfield Records. And don't forget, of course, as I've already mentioned, the return of Pompey Live to your radio's full coverage of the Blues versus the Pirates. It's Pompey versus the Gas, Portsmouth against Bristol Rovers. Either way, we've got you covered from 12 o'clock noon tomorrow here on Express FM. But until then, have a great evening, enjoy your weekend, and as always, stay safe. Play at Pompey. Good night.